Okay, so today, Be'ez Hashem, we're doing Yud Zayin Amud Aleph over here in Hilchos Shabbos, so we still have to finish up that last line of Ramah in Siman Reish Nun Aleph before we begin Siman Reish Nun Beis. So that last line of Ramah after the whole Siman Reish Nun Aleph was about Malachos that you should or shouldn't do on Erev Shabbos. So the Ramah adds, V'yesh l'adam l'mayit k'tzas b'limudo b'Erev Shabbos k'dei sh'yachon tzor k'Shabbos. A person should learn a little bit less on Erev Shabbos in order that he should prepare for Shabbos. If you look in the Mishabura That's why yeshivas typically have an off day on Erev Shabbos, because the assumption is that the bachurim have to be spending time getting ready for Shabbos. If you, let's say, have a set amount of learning that you do every day, and it's a very specific amount, you learn for 40 minutes of daf yomi, 45 minutes of daf yomi, something like that, so or you're learning together with the rabbim, so then you shouldn't be mevatel. Pirush Rashi, that if there's some sort of seder limud that's like a daf yomi cycle or shnai mikra or something like that, that's considered yeshal kitzpah. So there's no concern that you're going to get so caught up in the learning that you're going to miss out on Shabbos. But you have to be smart about it. If you realize that you're going to miss out on the bakery's not going to be out of challah or out of special Shabbos cookies or whatever that you want to have for Shabbos, so then you shouldn't do that. Then don't be koveh the limud in a way that's you're going to miss out on the delicacies of Shabbos. We discussed this right in the Bir Halacha earlier. Now, Sivkat and Tas, Kedei Sheyachin, the reason we learn a little less is so that we can prepare. Look, if you have someone that can take care of all the preparations for you, you don't need to be mevatel from your limud. And especially if you prepared already on Thursday, then learn. But don't forget that which we said in Siman Reish Nun, that no matter who you are, even the Gedolei Amoraim would engage in some sort of preparation for Shabbos on their own. So a person shouldn't sacrifice his learning for preparing for Shabbos if he has other people to do it, but a little something he should do to prepare for Shabbos, because nobody is exempt from that. Now we move on to Siman Reish Nun Beis, and these are the malachos that are mutter and asr to begin on Erev Shabbos that will then be completed on their own on Shabbos. So says the Shulchan Aruch, mutter lahaskel b'malacha b'Erev Shabbos samach l'chashecha, af b'shen yachal l'gamrim b'vod yom b'nigmeres me'elah b'Shabbos. If you set a process into motion that you start the malacha on Erev Shabbos and then it just goes on its own and the malacha will be finished on Shabbos. An example would be, let's say you put raw food in the oven, so your whole maisa was on Erev Shabbos, and then the food will get cooked on Shabbos. So those kinds of things, although cooking is a separate thing we're going to see in a different siman about particular gzeros midrabanan about cooking, so I'm just giving that as an example of what it means to start a malacha where you're not going to be doing anything on Shabbos, but the malacha is happening on Shabbos. So if you have that kind of malacha, and the Shulchan Aruch gives examples, that if you want to make a dye, they would put the herbs or whatever dyes they're going to have, and they'll soak it in water until the water becomes fully colored. So you do all the soaking on Erev Shabbos, and it stays soaking on Shabbos where it's actually happening. Or you put bundles of flax into an oven that will whiten the flax, so you put it in before Shabbos. If you put wool into a pot that's not on the fire and you seal it with cement, if it's on the fire, then you'd have a separateness that we're afraid that you're going to stoke the coals and you're going to violate Havara b'Shabbos. That we're afraid you're going to take a shovel and start stoking the coals of the fire. And even if it's no longer on the fire, but it's not sealed, the pot is not sealed, then there's another separate chashash that you might come to stir it, and that's a problem. And that's a violation of bishul. But if it's both not on the fire and it's perfectly sealed, so you don't have to worry about the fact that there's malacha going on inside that pot going into Shabbos, because you're not doing it. You did the malacha on Erev Shabbos. And you're also allowed to set out traps on Erev Shabbos, even though the trapping is going to happen on Shabbos. umutal limkor le'inu Yehudi Latino samuch l'chashecha umvat sheyesim pesach beisom mibod yom. You can sell something to a non-Jew and put the bundle of stuff that you just sold to him on his back for him to walk out with it, as long as he leaves your house before Shabbos actually begins. So let's see the Mishnah Berurah now. Sivkatan Aleph, Lishros Dio. So he said, what are the examples of the things you're allowed to do on Erev Shabbos, even though the Malacha is going to be completed on Shabbos, is to soak the dye. U'b'Shabbos Asr Misha Megabel, Shamar V'Adio V'Amayim Yachad. On Shabbos you're not allowed to do this, because even though it's just making the dye, you're not actually dyeing any garment yet, you're just making the dye, but it's Asr Misha Megabel, that it's that you're mixing it together like a type of kneading of a dough type of substance, because you're mixing the dio with the water together, so little particles are being bound together by a liquid medium. So that's an issur of Elisha. And others say that it's a violation of tzoveya because you're coloring the water. So whatever the malacha is that's happening, since the malacha is beginning on Erev Shabbos, and it finishes on its own on Shabbos, sorry, that's what makes it mutter. What everything that we read about tonight has in common is that all of these things, if you were to do them on Shabbos, it would be chiv daraisa. But because you're doing them Erev Shabbos, and then it's happening on its own on Shabbos, that's going to be mutter. There's a discussion, Rav Moshe has a famous discussion about setting a Shabbos clock. Shabbos clock is not this, right? Shabbos clock seems worse than this, right? Because Shabbos clock is that you set something in motion on Erev Shabbos for the malacha to begin and end on Shabbos, right? Meaning the entire malacha happens on Shabbos. You just set it in motion in advance. This is about where the malacha already starts on Erev Shabbos and just continues into Shabbos. So the Rav Moshe writes in Or Chaim Chel Dal Simon Samach that maybe the Shulchan Aruch only allows you to begin a malacha on Erev Shabbos so that it will be concluded on Shabbos. But to begin a malacha on Shabbos using a Shabbos clock, maybe that's aser. So the Shvisa Shabbos writes that it's aser to do that, and then he says, but Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank held that it's mutter. I think the general consensus is that it's mutter to set Shabbos clocks on things, even though Rav Moshe didn't like them for other reasons. He thought that it was a zilzul Shabbos, and soon, pretty soon, you'll be able to have everything running on its own on Shabbos, and Shabbos is going to be like a weekday. Rav Moshe was way ahead of his time. He already foresaw, what things could possibly look like if we don't ask for these kinds of things. So says the Mishmur Sivkan Bey, Shal Pishtan the Tanur, so to put the Pishtan in the oven to whiten it, Afilu Ein Toch Kisui Betit, even though you don't seal the Tanur shut, Afilu Achilu Cheshin Shemigal HaKisu V'Yichat HaBekachalim, Dikim Daruach Kashan Lol Cheshin Shemigalehu. We're not concerned that you're going to uncover it in order to stoke the coals, because exposing it to the air is not good for it, so we're not afraid that you're going to uncover it in order to stoke the coals. But by the Pishtan, that's only by the Tzemer in the Yora that we have such a concern that you might stoke the coals. Tzemer l'tocha Yora, Sivkatan Gimel, v'kol letas hatzeva. And the point is that you're dyeing the wool. So asr shem yichata. So if it's still on the fire, it's going to be a problem anyway, because I'm afraid that you're going to stoke the coals. Haynu afilu yeshman sheyaklit ein hatzeva mibod yom afilu achiyaser. Even if all the dyeing happened on Friday and it was totally dyed before Shabbos started, it would still be asr shem yichata k'day l'kodetev. Because you still might stoke the coals on Shabbos in order to make the dye really take, attach itself fast to the garment. Sivkatan hay shema v'chulei v'amegis v'chulei. So he's saying that again, when you have that pot with the dye, where you have the wool in the pot with the dye, so you have to take care of two things. First, you have to make sure that you're not going to stoke the coals, so it can't be on the fire anymore. And second, you have to make sure you're not going to stir the pot, so it has to be a sealed pot. So hine after mechaber hishva gosa b'yora lagosa b'kedera. Even though the mechaber compares stirring a yora with stirring a kedera, which is a pot of food. They're not the same. A dying pot and a pot for food is not the same. If you have a pot where food is cooking, where your cholent is cooking, If it's fully cooked, there's no iser to then stir it because nothing's happening. But if it's a dying pot, then it's aser to stir even when it's already died. And that's why you're not allowed to put the wool into the dying pot on Erev Shabbos, even if it will have enough time to dye the wool before Shabbos, because I'm afraid you might come to stir it. Sivkat and Vav Chayiv Mishum Mevashel. That it would be a violation of Bishul because by stirring the pot, it's causing the Bishul to happen much more quickly. And then we said you could spread out traps. Mitzudus Chaya Ubishavis Imhu Osakenu Bishas Prisaso Nichlas Chayiv Letocha Chayiv Mishum Tzeda. If you were to do that on Shabbos and at the very moment you're spreading out the trap, a bird goes right into it, then you're Chayiv Mishum Tzeda. That's not normally the way it happens. Normally you spread out the trap and the bird comes in later, so that's not Chayiv Mishum Tzeda. That's not Tzeda Midoraisa, even though you're not allowed to do that. And then we said, so you could give a guy something, you could sell something to a guy in Erev Shabbos, as long as he gets out of your front door before Shabbos starts. Because if there's no time for him to get out, or the Einu Yehudi makes a deal with you that he's going to buy from you on Shabbos, so then you're not allowed to arrange for such a sale. The Dirshu quotes of Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak and Chel Gimel Sim Lam Dalit, where he talks about if a Jew owns vending machines where Goyim are going to buy on Shabbos. So he says that's mutter. But you should have a kavana that you're not being zoche in the money that someone puts into the vending machine until Motzei Shabbos. And you should also make it tonight, before Shabbos, that you're having kavana to be makna, the food that's in the vending machine or whatever the product is in the vending machine, to whoever is going to buy it, but you're being makna to them before Shabbos. I don't know who it is yet that's going to buy it, but through Breira, you could be makna to them before Shabbos. So to review what we learned today, first we learned to Ramah that you should minimize learning on Erev Shabbos to enable more Shabbos preparation, and a person should always be personally engaged in Shabbos preparation. And then we learned in Sif Aleph that you can set up malachos to begin on Erev Shabbos and finish on Shabbos, unless there's some other chashash that's associated with them, whether it be a chashash of Megis Bigadeira, which is a chashash Bishul, or whether it be a chashash of Mechata Bigachalim, and we gave many examples of such malachos that would begin on Erev Shabbos and would finish on their own on Shabbos, which are in fact mutter. So tomorrow, Bezram will continue it with the Ramah on the top of Simon, on the top of page 34 in Simon Reish Nun Beis. Have a good one. There is? Oh, I missed one? Oh, Mibod Yom. Sorry, Mibod Yom. That it shouldn't look like the Jew told him to leave with it. V'yesh o tam lezeh. Another reason for Shliach Shlos Yisrael Shemachalo B'Shabbos Mishkanam B'Yado. That they shouldn't be choshed the Jew that he sold it to him on Shabbos or gave it as a mashkon. And therefore it's going to be us even leaving out carrying because it looks like you did a transaction. That's what the Achronim say, that in this case, when it comes to selling or when it comes to renting some sort of object, we should be machmir even if there's a wall around the whole city, there's an area around the whole city, and the non-Jew lives in that city, that still it's going to look like you're engaged in business with him on Erev Shabbos. Thank you for catching that. So I guess tomorrow we'll have a slightly shorter shiur, beginning with the Ramah on the top of page 34. Okay.